the question. Do you ever worry about your past sin coming back to haunt you? Things that lie in your past that you struggle to move on from, that you struggle to forget, and you worry that at some point you'll be exposed for what you really are and what you've really done, and be shown to be an imposter like the other people around you. And not just sin in your distant past coming back to haunt you, but perhaps things in the more recent past, perhaps even in the past week. You worry about that past sin coming back to haunt you, perhaps even coming here this evening when we come to eat and drink together, and perhaps this evening you come feeling like you don't really fit in, like you're not like the other people sat around in this room. You feel a bit of an imposter because of that sin that lies in your past, in the recent past, in the more distant past, that sin that you struggle to move on from. Or perhaps you worry that that sin will one day catch up with you on the day of judgment, and God will expose you for what you are really like. If that is how you're feeling this evening, worrying about that past sin coming back to haunt you, feeling like an imposter here, I have two things to say to you, and two things to say to all of us. First is that you're not alone if you have those kind of thoughts, those kind of fears, those kind of lies can pass through the minds of many Christians. But the second thing I want to say to all of us this evening is that there is something that silences those thoughts for good. Something that can silence those thoughts for good. Something that we read about in that passage. One verse that Gwyn will put up now on the screen behind me, where the author writes about Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And this evening, as we meet together around this bread and this wine that reminds us of the death of Jesus and the wine that reminds us of the blood of Jesus, I just want us to look at these words to encourage us to remember that sprinkled blood that speaks a better word to us this evening, that whenever we hear those accusations of things that lie in our past that we struggle to move on from, we can remember the sprinkled blood that silences those accusations, those words of fake condemnation that can hang over us. The encouragement this evening of that sprinkled blood that speaks a better word to us. A bit of context. That word in the verse, a better word. Better is quite an important word in the whole of the book of Hebrews in this letter. If you go home this evening and you read Hebrews from chapter 1 to chapter 13, it's a good thing to read in one sitting, you'll see the word better or a similar word coming up a lot, and you'll see that idea coming up a lot as well, that Jesus brings something better, that Jesus brings a new covenant. He brings something better, a new covenant with a better hope, with better promises, with a better mediator, Jesus Christ. And here, in some of the verses we read, if you look down from verses 18 onwards, he brings us a better pattern of worship. We get introduced to two mountains. We get introduced to those in verses 18 to 21, under the old covenant, coming to Mount Sinai, back in Exodus, and the way it's described: blazing fire, darkness, gloom, a tempest, the sound of a trumpet, a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. They couldn't endure the order that was given, that even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. These people shrinking back at Mount Sinai in the presence of God. And even Moses Even the great Moses said, I tremble with fear. That was the old. But, verse 22, but here is something new. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And you can come with confidence. That's another word that comes up quite a few times in Hebrews. With confidence. Coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, but not shrinking back and saying with Moses, I tremble with fear, although there's a right fear of God. But drawing near with confidence. And what makes the difference in verse 24, these words behind me, is Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, a new relationship between God and his people. And at the heart of his work as a mediator, the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than any other blood that's ever been shed on this earth. The sprinkled blood. Jesus dying on the cross, his blood shed. Here, the picture of that blood being sprinkled in a covenant ceremony for the new covenant. That sprinkled blood that speaks a better word to us this evening, a good word. When those accusations come from our sin in the past, here is the better word we get from the blood of Jesus. And where previously in Hebrews, and again when you do your read through later, you'll see this, we get a contrast between animal sacrifices and the sacrifice of Jesus. So the blood of animals can never take away sin. The blood of Jesus does forever for his people, once for all, deals with sin. But here the contrast isn't between the blood of animals and the blood of Jesus. It's between the blood of Abel and the blood of Jesus. Which is perhaps a bit of a surprising thing to come up, to mention Abel at this point. But this evening, I hope, as we set the blood of Abel and the blood of Jesus side by side, I hope we'll be encouraged as we see this better word that the blood of Jesus speaks. So we need to turn back to Genesis chapter 4 and see something about this blood of Abel. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, so if I haven't put a page number because you turn to the beginning of the Bible and then turn forward a few pages. And this is a story that many of you will know very well. The story of Cain and Abel. And in past generations, this was one of those Bible stories that people who weren't Christians would have known. And Genesis chapter 4 is an important chapter. This account of Cain and Abel is an important account. It gets mentioned, I think, 5 times in the New Testament. And again, later on, you can go and read the whole New Testament and find where those 5 times are. But it's an important chapter where we get the first human birth, get the first family with children, we get the first recorded formal act of worship with the offerings, and then the first murder. It's quite a tragic thing to happen this early on in the Bible. We get introduced to these two brothers in the first few verses, and from verse 3, we read about a difference between them. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Cain and Abel both bring an offering to the Lord. And the Lord looked with favour on Abel's offering, but not on Cain's. And we're not told the reason for the different responses here. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is one of the other mentions of Abel in the New Testament, we read that Abel's offering was made in faith. He was a man of faith, where Cain wasn't. And so there was a difference in attitude here that the Lord saw. And perhaps that's reflected in the fact that the Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions, the best of the best that he could offer. But Cain just brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, as if any offering would do. Whatever the reason, they come with these different attitudes, with these different offerings, they get a different response. And Cain is not very happy with his response that he gets from the Lord. In fact, he is very angry. His face falls. But the Lord speaks to him very kindly and gives him a choice. He says in verse 7, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door." Because Cain has this opportunity to follow the pattern of his brother Abel. He has the opportunity to do well. Or he could choose to not do well. Do well, not do well. He chooses not. And in fact, he chooses murder. And a tragic murder. A murder of his brother. A number of times the word brother comes up in this chapter. That in itself is a shock. Murdering your brother. But to do it in the context of worship, when they're offering these sacrifices to God, it's a tragic scene. And it gets even more tragic when the Lord speaks to Cain. So in verse 8, that's when the actual murder happens. Cain takes Abel into the field, kills him, perhaps thinking no one will see. Of course, the Lord does see. And says to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother? Where is Abel?" And Cain says, "I do not know." What awful words. Of course he knows. "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? A lie, and a terribly callous lie. No regard for Abel, his brother. No regard for that life. Denial of responsibility. He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all." And then the key bit for us this evening in verse 10, how the Lord responds. He says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Here is the voice and the word spoken by the blood of Abel. Abel himself doesn't actually say any words in this scene, but his blood speaks. And here his blood cries out to God in the face of this evil and this injustice, crying out for justice, crying out for vengeance, crying out for God to act at this horrific shedding of innocent human life at the beginning almost of God's creation. Crying out for justice, crying out for God to act. "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Crying out for justice to God. And to Cain, what that means, what the words of the blood of Abel means for him, it means a curse. Verse 12, verse 11, "Now you are cursed from the ground." And it means he's cast out. Verse 16, "Cain went away from the presence of the Lord," away from the presence of the Lord, "and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden." Adam and Eve already went out of the Garden of Eden to the east. Now Cain goes even east of east, away from the presence of the Lord, cast out. The words spoken by the blood of Abel, crying out for justice and for vengeance and for God to act, which for Cain means a curse and being cast out of the presence of God. Well, that's what it meant in the context for Cain. What does the blood of Abel speak to us? On its own, I think it speaks something similar, because we're actually not that different from Cain. We have a Cain-like tendency in all of us. even if we haven't murdered anyone. I've never taken someone out into a field and murdered them. That's true, I haven't. But that doesn't mean that I have treated my fellow humans made in the image of God in the way that I should have done. And I've been part of a humanity that has oppressed others and acted unjustly towards others. I participate in that humanity. I've been silent in the face of a lot of that injustice. And then can we forget the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5? You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus says to us, even if we haven't actually killed someone, in our hearts, our attitude before God, deeply wrong. And what Jesus says to me is that in my heart, I've covered the ground of God's earth with blood every time I've thought something wrong about a human made in the image of God. And every time that I've been silent in the face of injustice and oppression or participated in that in any form, I stand before God guilty. What Jesus would say to all of us is that on the basis of what's going on in our hearts and our attitude towards one another, we stand before God guilty. And so the blood of Abel that was shed, that first innocent blood shed, cries out against us too, crying out for God to act in justice against all of the injustice in this world, crying out for God to act, which would mean for us punishment. It would mean facing God's curse. It would mean facing being cast out from God's presence forever because of how we have failed to treat humans made in the image of God in the way that we have been commanded to treat one another. And all of that stuff in my heart, I may think that I can keep it hidden, like Cain murdering someone in the field, but it can't really be hidden from God. And so all of those wrong attitudes and thoughts and actions that lie in my past, that lie in our pasts, that is a past that should haunt us. The blood of Abel crying out for justice, which is a bad word for us. That's the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks a much better word than that. The blood of Jesus speaks a much better word than that. The blood of Abel cries out for justice to be done. The blood of Jesus cries out that justice has been done at the cross, where Jesus died to take the punishment that we deserve for our sin and our oppression and our hatred and our wrong attitudes towards one another and our wrong attitudes towards God. Justice done at the cross. And where Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" denying all responsibility for this person that he should have had responsibility towards. Well, Jesus decided to take responsibility for those he would call his brothers and sisters. He could have stayed in heaven and just destroyed this earth. But instead, he came down. He came in flesh and blood like us, the people he would call his brothers and sisters. He made himself his brother's keeper and took responsibility for how we've lived and took responsibility for our sin when he died on the cross to take that punishment, that curse on himself. And where Cain, out of his hatred, killed his brother, well, Jesus, out of his love, gave his own life for his brothers and his sisters, his people, gave his own life. And his own blood sprinkled the ground, his blood shed at the cross where he died for us. dying to take the punishment we deserve for our sin, dying to take that curse so we don't need to face it. The sprinkled blood that speaks a better word, not of justice and vengeance, but forgiveness, mercy for us. The blood of Jesus that speaks a word of mercy and forgiveness for us. And what does that mean for those who are covered by that blood, for those who are trusting in that blood? Turn back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll read from verse 19. This is what the better words we hear from the blood of Jesus are. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, that speaks these words. Not crying out for vengeance against us, crying out for forgiveness. Not a curse, but blessing. Not us being cast out in the presence of the Lord, which is what we deserve, but we have confidence to enter the holy places, to come into the presence of God in heaven, where Jesus has gone on our behalf. Even though this God, this is the God we sang at the beginning, holy, 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 perfectly holy, three times perfectly holy, but we can draw near by the blood of Jesus with confidence. A better word. A better word, not speaking a word of the evil of corruption, but of cleansing. So we stand sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed. And as we trust in that blood, we know not just standing before God clean, but we know that ongoing work of sin being dealt with in our lives. This blood of Jesus that speaks a word not of despair about the future and about what our fate will be, but of hope. A hope that we can hold fast to with confidence, without wavering, knowing that he is faithful, a confident hope. This blood of Jesus that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, that speaks a better word in the presence of God, where he appears on our behalf as our mediator, interceding for us, granting us that access into that heavenly holy place. And God sees that sprinkled blood of Jesus and welcomes us in his name. The one who is, as we sang earlier, our strong and perfect plea, our great high priest who lives and pleads for us. And that sprinkled blood that speaks a better word to us this evening, a word of forgiveness, of cleansing, of confidence, of hope. And as we come shortly to eat and drink together, that's how the wine speaks to us, or how God speaks to us through the wine. A better word that we find here this evening, a better word than the blood of Abel or any other blood shed in the history of this world. A better word of forgiveness, of blessing, of cleansing, of hope, of drawing into the presence of God. And if you don't know that confidence yourself, if you don't know what it means to be forgiven this evening, if you don't know what it means to draw near to God with confidence, well, when later we drink the wine, wouldn't want you to drink the wine yet. That would be saying something untrue about yourself. But to spend that time thinking about that blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross, where he died for the sins of a guilty world. To think about what it is that's stopping you coming to Jesus and putting your trust in him and acknowledging him as Lord and Saviour. You can have hope for the future. To spend some time thinking about what is stopping you making that step. Praying to God about whatever that barrier is. Spending that time asking Jesus to put you right with the God who made you, to give you that access to him through that blood. And if you've still got questions, then stay around afterwards for refreshments. Ask your questions of me or Mike or anyone else. You can know this confidence that we have this evening to hear those better words and know they apply to you in Jesus. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That sprinkled blood that silences the accusing voices of our past sin when we struggle to forget and move on, where those things weigh on us, perhaps even when we come here. If we ever come into church feeling like a bit of an imposter, like we don't really fit in, like everyone else around us must be much better than us, and we're so conscious of something that's happened, maybe even in the last week. If we ever come to church feeling like that, we can stop. Remember that sprinkled blood. Remember that we only ever come into this building as people who worship by that blood. Only by grace. It's the same for all of us. Only because we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's the same for all of us. We don't need to shrink back in shame and fear because of something that we did on Tuesday. We draw near with confidence in song and prayer together. And if you ever think, well, I'd like to be involved in helping with Toddlers, Super Zone, Impact, Coffee Morning, whatever, but I'm not good enough. If I did that, I'd just be a hypocrite. I'm not as good as other people to serve in those ways. We can stop. Remember the sprinkled blood of Jesus. All of us only ever serve through that blood. Only by grace that we can serve in any way at all. I'm not preaching this evening because I've reached some kind of level of ministerial perfection. I haven't. Mike's laughing because he knows me quite well. I haven't. Only preach because of the grace of God. So that blood of Jesus, that's the basis on which I can share this with you this evening. And when we come in a few minutes after our next song to drink together and eat together, and perhaps you hear that voice in your mind saying, should you really be eating that? Should you really be drinking that? After what you did this week, after that thing that lies in your past, should you really be eating and drinking that? Stop. Remember the sprinkled blood. Remember that better word. That word that silences those accusations. That word that speaks to us forgiveness and mercy. That blood that gives us a strong and perfect plea in the presence of God as we draw near. Friends, look at the words on the screen. Fix those words in your mind. Take those words with you into this coming week. Whenever those voices try and accuse you, these words that speak of the sprinkled blood that silences those accusations forever, bring those words with you when you come into this building next Sunday to worship, remembering that you come as people who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and can draw near with confidence through that blood. Fix those words in your mind. Remember that sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than any other blood that's ever been shed or ever will be shed. Praise be to Jesus. Amen.